Roy, I feel I've never felt so nervous in 46 years of ministry to preacher, because I feel like there's such destiny over this house, and there's such a spirit of revival, and there's something special going on here that is unique. And I've never cried so much. When I get around Rory and Mel, I just start crying, because they're so full of grace and generosity and big thinking. I think I'm dehydrated because I've lost so many tears. Isn't it wonderful that the joy of the Lord is our strength? It's not depression that's our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I searched through every religion that you can imagine. I was born in an atheist home in Durban, South Africa. And I tried everything of any religion you can think of. I tried it. I lived some of it out. So much so that I was a Hare Krishna with a shaved hair, with tilak clay from the Ganges River painted over my body. And I can't even explain all that. I was married legitimately in a church or court of law as well. And yet we were not allowed to have sex as a husband and wife unless we wanted to procreate. And one night, after 10 months of total abstinence as a red-blooded man, husband, legitimately married, after 10 months of abstinence trying to be a faithful Hindu, Glenda tempted me. And I was set free. And one moment of intimacy in 10 months, and she conceived. Like that, bam! And our second son, Ryan Rufus, was conceived. He was conceived in a spirit of breaking free from the bondage of religion. Religion is an oppressive thing. It destroys people's lives. The kingdom of heaven is not a religion. It's a relationship with a living God who loves us totally. Come on, can you say yes. Amen? And so I'm so excited. I'm a sicker so by opgewonder. In sinne weerachtig. Maar ik zal proberen in die kracht van de Heilige Geest spreek. That's my best Afrikaans I can bring from my Durban background. Je weet die wonderwerking bedienen. Rory and Mel are people we've watched for decades. They are the most generous people we've ever met. They're the most amazing people we've ever met. We walk through the streets of Pretoria with them. They meet people. They just pull out money and just give, like money. Just give it all over the place. I'm going, great, man. And that spirit of generosity has infected this house. You know, the greatest revelation of the Father is his generosity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't it a gracious thing? You just say, yes, Lord, and he comes into your life. I said, yes, Lord, in a Hare Krishna ashram in Cater Ridge, Durban. I said, yes, in front of idols. I said, yes, Lord. And when I said, yes, Lord, the idol with the big headdress on fell on the altar, bang, right down in a Hindu temple. The idol fell. The fear of the Lord came on me. I ran to my little room. And in that room, the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, he's calling me son already. I wasn't born again yet. And he said, son, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come follow me and be freed from religion. And I was born again in an evil, idol-worshipping temple. Wow. Listen, it doesn't matter what the context of your life, you can be saved anywhere because the light of God invades darkness. Darkness is just the absence of light. Darkness doesn't actually exist. It's the absence of light. But when light comes, darkness goes. The gospel is the light of the glory of God that shines in the face of Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that Satan is the small g, the false god of this world. He has a corrupted wisdom and he's deceiving the world with corrupted wisdom, corrupted priorities, so that they destroy their lives. He hates, the devil hates people. He wants to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He's about life. He's not about death. The Bible says in the Old Covenant in Deuteronomy 28, it says, now choose, I set before you life and death. Now choose life. God gives us a choice to walk under demonic deception in a corrupted wisdom, or to choose life, to be born again, to become a new creation, to become a son and daughter of the Most High God, to become revealed sons and daughters that walk in a world that's confused about everything. We are here as the light. We are the salt and we are the light. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are here to see Pretoria, the capital city, in full-blown, fiery revival, where men and women are so passionate for Jesus. They live with a martyr's complex. They live with a sacrificial attitude. They have everything, but they choose to lay down everything because they love Him and are captured by Him, and they want to serve Him. Come on, say amen. Nothing is inconvenient in the kingdom. No sacrifice is too big because the greatest sacrifice has already been paid.
Beautiful, Rob.
At the cross. Amen. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my sin, it rolled away.
Beautiful.
You know, once I got born again with Glenda, we planted a church after just 2 years of being saved. We couldn't wait. We hadn't read the whole Bible yet. We hadn't been to Bible school. We were so excited. We just wanted to get going. Amen. By the way, let me just say this quickly. I got to a place where I prided myself with being on fire for God every day. Day after day, week after week, month after month. Every day I was on fire. Every day I'd get up and wait on God, invite His fire to come on me. Pentecost was about fire. Wasn't about Pentecostal denominationalism. Pentecost was so that a person like Peter, he was impulsive, but he wasn't courageous. He was impulsive, but not courageous. So he denied Jesus 3 times. But on the day of Pentecost, when the fire came on Peter, he lost the fear. The fire burnt the fear out of him. And he came into such a place where he could speak to a crowd of Jewish people and declare the gospel. And 3,000 were cut to the heart and interrupted Peter's sermon and said, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter answered immediately. And he said, "Repent and be baptized and save yourself from this corrupt generation." So when you come into the kingdom, you come into a whole new citizenship, a whole new realm, a whole new culture, a whole new way of thinking, a whole new integrity, a whole new priorities. Everything changed. Repent means in the Hebrew, teshuvah. It means to go to the highest place, to change the way you think, to adjust to the fact that you are now left the corrupted dark system and come into an eternal, everlasting kingdom. And you are a son and a daughter of the King of Kings of the kingdom. Therefore, you are kings and priests, the Bible says, in the kingdom of heaven. Come on, give the Lord a shout and a clap here. Anyway, you guys are listening, so well, you're exciting me. I'm ready to calm down now. And in that time when I got proud of being on fire, I got so cold. It was the first time I became cold. This is in 1984. And I was going through a hard time, and I, as a pastor, so I thought, well, I can't commit suicide. It'll confuse people. By the way, just in case you have ever loved one that committed suicide, it was a believer, and you think that they committed the Judas thing and they're not saved. Hey, listen, once you're born again, friend. You have a new creation nature. Your heart's been circumcised, and the Christ nature's been put on the inside of you. And if they committed suicide, they're gone to heaven. They just went earlier than the Lord planned, but they got there because they were born again, not because of what they did. It has nothing to do with what you do. It's all by grace through faith. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
And so I was lukewarm, I was cold, I was a pastor, and it's very embarrassing to preach from a pulpit when you've got no fire, no revelation, no wisdom, no illumination, and you're just in that place of lukewarmness. And I went to the back of a building where a person by the name of Bill Hammond, a prophet from America, he had never met me, he didn't know me, and he was prophesying. He was so accurate, this prophet, which prophets should be. And And I'm sitting right at the back, discouraged, negative. Some of you today might be here feeling lukewarm, far away from God, fearful, worried, anxious, not knowing what you're to do next. That's how I was, sitting in the back of a building as a pastor, as a dominee. And the next minute, this prophet who never knew me, but my father knows me and he knows you. He knows the very number of hairs on your head. He knows your unique fingerprints. His heaven celebrated the day you were born. When you came out, all the angels burst into trumpet sounds because you're not the product of impersonal time plus impersonal chance plus impersonal matter and developed into a personal way through impersonal complexities that contradict the second law of thermodynamics. You're not the product of evolution chaos. You are the design. You are made in the image and the likeness of the King of Kings. When God wanted to make birds, he spoke to the water. When he wanted to make birds, he spoke to the air. When he wanted to make a fish, he spoke to the water. When he wanted to make trees, he spoke to the earth. But when he wanted to make men and women, he spoke to himself and said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man, woman in our image and our likeness. We are in the image. That's why we're not wanting people to feel guilty who have abortions, but we do want people to know that every baby, every child that comes is made in the image and the likeness of God. You have such value that God was prepared to send his only begotten to die for you.
Beautiful, Rob.
You have such value. You have... God did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all. If he freely gave Jesus up for us all, how will he not also freely give us all things that are about life and godliness and blessing and favor? People think, oh, that's the prosperity gospel. We don't preach the prosperity gospel. We preach about a prosperous God who blessed Abraham. He blessed Israel coming in and going out. God's heart is not to get us to earn and deserve blessing. He gives us the blessing because Christ on the cross redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing given unto Abraham can come to the Gentiles by the promise of the Spirit. Amen. Through faith. God's will is to overwhelmingly bless us, not because we're greedy. See, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. Money takes on the character and the personality of the hands it's in. If people are into pornography and they got lots of money, they can expand their business. But if the godly people have lots of money in their hands and in their resources, they can expand the kingdom because everything requires money. Amen. So it's not about greed. It's not about selfish ambition for wealth. It's about humbling ourselves and walking in the supernatural, and we will see the power of the kingdom coming. You guys are so wonderful, man. I want to say thank you for loving Rory and Mel. Thank you for loving them. They boast with great joy about you guys. You've made them feel so at home. Durban people in Pretoria. And so he called me up on the platform, sitting at the back. See, I can still remember what I'm saying, eh? I know some of you think, well, he's 70, he forgot now. No, I said a word of knowledge. You can repent now, okay? Sorry, what was I saying, Glenna? These are such elaborate people. They're so elegant and they're so expansive. You get around them and your world gets bigger and bigger. The kingdom world. There's not many leaders like this. It's rare. It's a rare gift from heaven. One of the best that the Father would want to give to Pretoria. This couple. So there I am at the back, depressed, oppressed, unimpressed, and suppressed. There was no flare of being aware, no gift with a lift. There was no wise up and size up. It was just depression, mental health, negativity. I'm finished. I don't want to be here. If I could commit suicide, I'd do it. But when Glenna gets to heaven, she'd murder me. So I can't. I'm joking, but some of you here today, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm sitting in the back, and I think, well, you know, where are you, God? And this prophet says, hey, you at the back there. And I look at the, I'm at the back. There's a wall behind me. There's no one else. I know. And he says, you at the back. He points at me and I turn around to the wall. There's no one else behind me. He says, you come up here. I come up there. He lays his hands on me. Now I'm feeling like God's tired of me because of my coldness. He lays his hands on me and he says, son, glory, your effect's having on me. He says, son, this is a prophet. He says, son, the Lord says, you have signed the bottom line of commitment to me and your love has come up into the heavens. And that was a time when I felt I was failing God, that I was lukewarm. Now I want to tell you, your smallest little inclination towards heaven comes up there and it is registered and the angels hear it and celebrate and sing and dance around you. I've had encounters with angels. I could tell you things that have happened in different parts of the world. I could tell you how comas I've gone into and the glory of God came over me. I lay for 3 hours, heard things in the spirit, knew things, new names, knew about the future, heard these things. But you know what? We don't talk about those things in a boastful way. They're so holy and reverent. We just walk in them and we flow with them and we let the glory of God be seen. Amen? So, very quickly. At 23, we planted church. It was kind of like built on 3 points or four points or 5 points of Calvinism. It was a dead church. Let me tell you, it was so dead that I didn't want to attend. I remember walking up the steps to the church we planted, and my mind was thinking about the surf in Durban. I wanted to go surfing, and then I had to get up and pretend I had a sermon. It was so dead, you could have lit a match on the atmosphere and it would have gone off. It was terrible. And one day, God came to my rescue. Say, rescue, he's a redeeming God. He will always come after you. He'll never let you go.
Amen.
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 So many things come to mind. He will never let you go. Once you said yes to him, he will never say no to you. That's a covenant that flows from heaven to us. It's not the covenant based on us to him. The old covenant, the law covenant, was what we call an intrinsic covenant, which means you had to do your part first, then God would do his part. If you kept the law perfectly, then God would bless you. But if you didn't keep the law 100% perfectly, the Bible said then the curses of the law would come. But in the new covenant, God took all the initiative. The new covenant, God loves us so much that he did not make a covenant with us. Because an intrinsic covenant means we got to do our part, then he'll do his part. That's old covenant thinking, and it's got into many Christians' heads, but it is so self-evident in the new covenant. Paul the apostle gave his whole life to reveal the superiority of a better covenant based on better promises with a superior high priest. He did everything he could, Paul, to preach this with revelation and wisdom, to illuminate for generations to come. And this church will show forth for generations to come a new covenant that is not intrinsic, but is extrinsic. God loved us so much that he made the covenant outside of us by cutting the covenant within the infallible, infinite perfection of the Trinity. Father initiated the covenant. Son paid the price for the covenant. Holy Spirit sealed the covenant in power. It's irreversible. It's irreversible.
Amen.
When Christ was raised from the dead, the Bible says in Galatians 2 and Ephesians 2, you have been co-crucified with Christ. You have co-died with Christ. You have been co-buried with Christ. You have been co-raised with Christ. You were co-ascended with Christ. You have been co-seated with Christ. And you are a co-equal heir with Christ.
Amen, Rob.
That's who you are.
Amen.
In Christ. God's not looking at the intrinsic, what you've done and what you haven't done. He's looking at the extrinsic. He's looking at what Christ has done. And you are in Christ, therefore you have been allowed into the infallible, infinite perfection of the faithfulness of the new covenant in Christ. It is so superior, it cannot even be vaguely compared to the old covenant. Come on, say amen. And we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. In Romans 7 verse 4 says that, and so my brothers and sisters, you have died to the law. Now friends, you can't be deader than dead. If you're in Christ, you have died to the law. The old covenant wants you to die to yourself. You cannot die to the new creation self. What we've got to have revelation on, we have died to the law so that we can belong to him that was raised from the dead, that we may bear fruit unto God. That's Romans 7 verse 4. Romans 7 verse 5 speaks about when we're under the law in the dead nature of Adam's sin, the law stirred up more sin in us. Then the next verse, verse 6 says, and so now we serve God in a new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code, but in the new way of the Spirit of life. It is so powerful that the will of God is revealed in John 14 verse 12. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands if you're a believer. That's most of you here. But John 14 verse 12, Jesus was making a timeless statement as the high priest of the church, as the Son of the Most High God. Jesus the Christ made a statement to every believer in this house. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, anyone that has faith in me, the miracles that I've been doing, they will do also and even greater miracles because I am going to the Father.
Amen.
When Jesus went back to the Father, he went back fully God, but now for the first time, he comes back to heaven fully man. And as a man, he re-inherits everything he already had as God. Now he re-inherits everything he had as God. Now he re-inherits it as a man. So as a great high priest, he can say to us believers who are circumcised, who are born again, filled with the power of God, you can do the miracles I've been doing and even greater miracles because I go to the Father. Come on, say amen. Give the Lord a shout in this place. This is not some mediocre ministry of Christianity. I'm really not really wanting to be called a Christian, even though it's in the Bible, but three times it's mentioned. But much more are we mentioned as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are revealed sons. Revealing in our weakness and our trembling and all of our frailties, his power is perfected in our weakness. So all the miracles he does through us. And Glenda and I've seen people come out of wheelchairs, paralyzed people, all over nations you might never have heard of, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Kanifistan, all these nations. We've been into Muslim nations. We've seen people come out of wheelchairs. We've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open. All the miracles Jesus did except multiplying, except turning water into wine, because Glenda doesn't want me to do that. We've seen it, and it's for every single person. Now, coming back quickly, okay, your love has come up in the heavens. You signed the bottom line of commitment. He put fire back in me. You don't sustain the fire. This fire sustains you.
Great job.
So every morning I'll get up and say, Holy Spirit, fresh fire on me. I've got everything inside of me, but it's what's on me that makes a difference to other people. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so I start this church. It's so dead. I'm a 5-point Calvinist. And so dead, I wanted to give up. And the next minute, I hope you can hear this as a new covenant reality. The Lord appears to me, not with my physical eyes, but he manifests his glory presence, and he gently pins me up against a wall in the church office. And he asks me three questions, which I'll sum up in one question. For time's sake. Now, let me just give you a bit of advice. When the Lord asks you questions, it's not because he's temporarily lost his omniscient ability to know everything. He doesn't need your advice. Like when he said to Adam, Adam, where are you? It was not a geographical question. It was a cardiographical question. Where's your heart, Adam? Where have you drifted off to in your heart, Adam? See, it's not God hiding from man. God's not hiding from Pretoria. It's man hiding from God with their fig leaves. Their fig leaf religion is enough to pacify their conscience if they go to church, give some money, and then they're okay. No, no, no. He doesn't want that. He wants you as a son, as a daughter, as a dearly beloved, in whom he's well pleased. You say, how can he be pleased in me? Because you are a believer in Christ. Your faith pleases him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's nothing else that pleases God except faith, because faith will produce the fruit of boldness, obedience, and humility. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Unbelief will produce pride, rebellion, witchcraft, and disobedience. And he comes to me, puts me up against the wall. He asked me this question. He said, Rob, you're a Calvinist. He said, I'm not. Jesus is cheeky, eh? He's got such a sense of humor. You'll miss his voice if you think he's always serious, because he's very seldom serious. And he answered this question. He said, so you believe that every, listen to this now. This is Calvinism. So Rob, you believe that everything that's God's will automatically happen. Let me say it again. He asked me the question. Rob, do you believe that everything that is God's will automatically happen? And I said, yes. He said, wrong. Wrong. He said, it's my will. It's many places in the New Covenant. It's my will that all be saved and come to knowledge of truth. He said, are all saved? No. So you see, he said, my will is not automatically happening. He said, on the cross, I took all sickness away, all diseases away. Isaiah 53. I've already healed all at the cross. It's not just my will to heal all. I've already done it at the cross. Are people being automatically being healed? I said, no. He said, therefore, you've been wrong. And wrong thinking contaminates your heart and stops faith. And he said, son, your Bible is on your desk. Now, I wasn't surprised because I realized this God knows everything. He said, your Bible's open on your desk. It's open at Hebrews 3. Go and pick it up. He told me the verse. I started reading it. It says that Israel did not enter into the promised land because of an evil heart of unbelief. See, unbelief that's from a knowledge that has no knowledge of the Bible or God's will from Scripture, that's unbelief. But an evil heart of unbelief is when people do know what the Word of God says and they still don't believe. That's an evil heart. So Israel had heard God give them signs and wonders. He had showed them the promised land was this predestined eternal purpose for them. And they still, with an evil heart, rebelled against God and refused to go into the promised land. He said, son, the Scripture is very clear that if something's my perfect will, it will not automatically happen. Until there's revelation on how to connect with living power and manifest the promises of God. Can you say amen? And when he said that to me, and he said, okay. He said, now, you're a Calvinist, but no longer. Now you're a man of faith. But I want you to go up to Johannesburg. Kenneth Hagin will be there. I didn't know Kenneth Hagin was coming. You may not know who Kenneth Hagin is. And he said, now you go there. You go to all three meetings, and you'll experience something that will change your life. So I'd been baptized in the Spirit. I spoke in tongues. But that's not all, friends. There's something else. I'm talking about it today. There's something else called an impartation of apostolic anointing. Yeah. That's what we're here for. Yeah. And so I was so cynical of this man because of cynical religion. So as I heard this man preach, the simple word of God, he just unpacked it. It was like a flow of revelation. It illuminated my heart. Then I wanted to get what he had. Now I'm aggressive. Now I'm so aggressive. I'm like the couple that they wanted to rip a hole in the roof and lower the guy down into where Jesus was. So I pushed my way through. All the ushers are in my way. And I just stood up about 5-10 meters away from Kenneth Hagin as he was moving, and the power of God, supernatural things were happening. And I just stood there and I said, Lord, I want that. What's on him, give it to me. Give it to me. Listen to that. What's on him, give it to me. Transfer it to me. And as I said those words, I felt the fire of God come onto my hands, run down my arms, onto my elbows, and onto my shoulders. And that's like electrical current. If you stick your fingers into electrical current, that's apart from Eskin problems, but generally speaking, if you stick your finger into open electrical plug, it's not biased. The power's not biased. When you stick your finger in there, your eyes will go around in circles, your curly hair will go straight, your straight hair will go curly, and you will feel something. Because the power of God is tangible, detectable, and discernible to the senses of a human being. The power of God quickens our mortal body. There's when the power comes, you can feel the power. Mark 5 says, as the woman with issue of blood touched Jesus, she felt she was healed, and Jesus felt power go out of him. If I touch you with these hands and you can receive, you will feel it. You will be like sticking your hands into an electrical socket. And the power that's coming out of that electrical socket is not biased. It is not prejudiced. It doesn't care what your color is. It doesn't care what your morality is or your immorality. It will heal all. Because that power is coming through the ESCOM of heaven, through the finished work of the cross, and that power is never waning. It is at the full flow that it was 2,000 years ago. We've done the works that Jesus did, Glenda, now. We have proven that the Word of God is true. And it's not for special people because we've got no special talents or gifts. We're just a little boy and girl from Pinetown, South Africa. And wherever we go around the world, we say, don't you dare call us certain titles. Or we got. I said, well, how come for years as a Christian, I couldn't do any miracles? Jesus couldn't do miracles. Couldn't do any miracles for 30 years. Then he got anointed by the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because the devil makes people sick, not God. Jesus had to wait 30 years, and the Holy Spirit came, and he went straight out and started doing miracles, because he did all his miracles not as God, but as a man. That's why I can say, because you're a man and woman, you can do what I'm doing, because you can have the same Holy Spirit. There's not a first century Holy Spirit and a 22nd century Holy Spirit. He's the same yesterday and today. And for the same Holy Spirit, same Jesus, same Father, same gospel that Paul preached, same in Pretoria.
Amen.
The only thing that stops the power is the religious system of unbelief and traditions of men. And God had to break me out of that by sending me up to Kenneth Hagin. An Armenian, he delivered me of all my Calvinism and all this fatalism and passivity. And I realized I can aggressively in faith release the power of God. God's power is on tap like a plug all the time. But I came back to my church, preached everything I'd heard Kenneth Hagin say. The power of God hit that place, lifted the entire 98% of the congregation off their feet, threw them through three rows of chairs, and the glory of God hit the place. I said, any unbelievers, you know God's real, don't you now? And they ran forward and got saved. It wasn't a casual, I'll try and get saved. No, the living God came into that room, and all unbelievers knew they needed to get saved, because God's so good. And miracles broke out from a church with no miracles. That first service back, deaf ears open. The first service. Those are big ones, the deaf hearing. And then we've seen the blind here. See, blind here. Bless you guys. Amen.